When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sport press. Yeah. No layup line, no warm-ups, no nothing. We just walking right into the stadium, getting to the game. Let's do it.
When the beat on, then it's on. When our right jerseys on the road. Cause how we feel where we roam is our home. Leaving these other podcasts null and void. The show can't miss something like Tom Shepard and corduroys. Full Sport Press, you know them boys. Jay run the point, lock for three. And me, I crash the boys. Weezy told you that it's paid for. We already ran the score before the cameraman could go and press record. Now you all in your feelings. Cause we trusted the process and y'all was tanking for Wiggins. We was spreading the love and y'all was trading for Wiggins. Went to war with the Wolves and y'all was waiting on Wiggins, huh? I had to do it face. The flow split the double, grabbed the dribble, and Euro stepped over the 808. I'm on time even when
you are now listening to the Full Sport Press podcast featuring hosts J-Hove, Weezy, Jeff, and Coach Locke. Please enjoy the show.
Greetings and salutations. I would like to welcome everybody back and some of you for the first time to the Full Sport Press podcast. The premier sports podcast for the consummate sports fan, and this is your one-stop shop for all sports related news and topics. I am J-Ho.
It's your boy Big Jeff.
It's your boy Weezy. What it do?
It's your man Coach Locke.
Cameron, how you doing, brother? You pulling your locks out?
Yeah.
Oh, I like Deion that locks.
I like that energy.
Deion locks. You spent some money on them. Yeah. Oh, man. Episode 496, guys. Mm-hmm. We're breaking down the highly controversial 2023 college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm. FSP style.
Always.
He wanted to say my damn line. Always FSP style.
You better damn know it.
Better damn believe it.
Kick it off, Jeff. Best of the week. Talk to the people.
Ah, man, my dog Black, man. I know you listening. I know you watching. Getting his first coaching gig, first head coaching high school game tonight.
That's what's
shout
up,
out
man.
To Kip, man. So, yeah, shout out to him. Coach his girl. Actually coaching against his daughter's team. Okay. That's going to be rough. Yeah, but, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, good for him.
Shout out to Black, man. Good guy, man. Yeah. Shout out to Black. What we got, Coach? Best of the week.
Best of the week for me, man, is seeing Tyreek Hill is going to pay the salary of the suspended photographer that the NFL got rid of. That he had nothing to do with. He can't control Tyreek taking his phone from him.
Nah.
That's what he did. So Tyreek Hill is going to pay his salary for the year for that. So shout out to Tyreek Hill. That's tough.
No fun league.
My best of the week is a conversation I had with Weezy this week. Guys, I was on the phone with Weezy. We were talking, shooting the shit. And you know somebody having a fake ass conversation with their neighbor or something. So I hear him talking, doing that fake ass neighbor talk.
Okay.
Only what I didn't know that he had me on speakerphone.
Oh.
So I immediately said, man, stop all that fake ass capping you doing, dog. And all of a sudden I hear him say, what? What are you talking about, man? Shut up, Jay. Shut up. By that time now I'm crying. What's wrong with you, man? What's wrong with you, man?
He going, man, look at that cap ass, fake ass, what you doing? He said, dude, have you lost your mind?
This is Weezy talking. Now we all know Weezy, especially in this studio. Weezy talking about, hey, yeah, I tell you what, man. Man, I tell you, we can't control it. We can't control the weather. Weezy. I tell you what. You sound like Howard. That was Howard talking right there. I ain't never heard it. Yeah, the weather. I just don't know, man. Hey, nice seeing you, man. All right.
If you hit him with a buddy, you know you missed it.
All right, pal.
Oh, my God. He lying now.
He didn't say pal, but you. That was Howard. That wasn't Weezy, for sure. Worst of the week. Let's kick things off with you, Weezy. Worst of the week.
Did Weezy do best of the week?
I did my best of
you
the week.
You did best of the week? Oh, yeah. What's your best of the week then, brother?
My best of the week, man, is Tyrese Halliburton.
You going crazy?
He put
stars,
work.
A star is born, man.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
Yeah. Worst of the week, Weezy.
Worst of the week, man. You got to stop cussing. Well, here's my. I got to stop cussing. Don't cuss around your kids, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. Been trying to.
They sponges, man. They pick up everything. It's funny when they say it, but it's not funny, man.
Ain't funny no more.
Nah, it ain't funny.
You the Manny.
Yeah,
ain't funny no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm whatever I got to do, man. I'm not going to cuss around my kid.
Good. Good. As you good. Should. As you should. My worst of the week is my co-host, the franchise. Jay Easley, 84, across all social media.
Across all social media.
Speak to Jeff at least once or twice a week throughout the week.
Yeah.
Shooting shit,
yeah.
Podcast talk, yeah. You know, Madden talk, something.
Something.
I ain't talked to Jeff all week.
For good reason.
Yeah.
For good reason.
Yeah, this week he's been unbearable, guys. Been fucking unbearable, dog.
What I do?
From group chats to social media. Man, he even brought it to the Madden. I thought it was safe in the Madden. You know what I'm saying? We Madden is strictly, you know, but Jeff, man. I had to block him.
Oh, God.
That's my worst of the week. I had to block
him. Here's the thing.
I had to block.
If the roles were reversed, I could see you doing the same thing, dog.
I've been there before.
Nah, he ain't never been like
you.
Nah.
Like you ain't nobody been there before.
Nobody's ever been there.
But we were undefeated, and we lost to Alabama in the national. No, no. We lost in this and now. We lost in the SEC championship.
It's a loss.
Yeah, you lost though.
We lost in the SEC championship.
You lost, bro.
And we did not make it into. So listen.
You lost. This what Jeff Matt about ain't never happened.
Never happened.
Never.
It's unprecedented.
Yeah. All right, we'll be talking about coach worst of the week. Nah.
We already know.
Yeah.
What you mean, no way?
It's consensus.
Hell yeah, it's a consensus. What you mean no way? Yeah.
Let me tell you something about coach. How I know coach was hot about it, and I don't think ever coach is like early pissed off. But I talked to coach Sunday morning, right?
Uh-huh.
It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock. I talked to him. We was talking about college football. Gas money house money. Just shoot this shit, right? I think he said he used to fold some clothes or whatever he was doing. After the thing came out at 11 o'clock, I called coach.
Nah.
Coach sent me to the button. He answered the phone. He was still processing. I said, coach is hot.
I was hot. Mm. Yeah. I didn't get that call. I don't know what happened. I didn't tell him. I don't know if I was on the line, but the call didn't come through. Because I would have answered, then snapped, be like, you see this shit, Weezy? Yeah.
Y'all are Florida State fans, correct?
Yes.
We're going to talk about it later.
Yeah, we're going to get that.
We're going to talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to get that.
Yeah.
It just means more.
Yeah.
My worst of the week, Zion Williamson.
Mm. He letting you down, Jeff. It's been a rough week for you.
Yeah.
Oh, he landed.
Zion, his team coming out saying they just need him to take his nutrition, his diet a little bit more serious. Now he can't hide it. Like, we even his biggest defenders like myself have been able to say, hey, man, he's still da-da-da-da-da-da. Brother, you got to do something.
Some gas station people.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
And the best thing about it showed, not to get out, so it showed against the Lakers last night. He wanted no smoke with LeBron. LeBron was on his head top. As soon as he crossed over half court, and he was passing ball every time.
Was that more weight? He just didn't want to smoke with LeBron.
I don't think he got the wind.
He got the wind.
He don't have the wind to play at that level.
Some gas station pills, bro. Bring your heart into the ground.
Gas station pills and Red Bull. Zion definitely on the Red Bulls.
What? But people don't know, man. Red Bull's dangerous.
Damn right.
Make sure you check us out on iTunes, Facebook, Instagram, Google Play, Spotify, Beyond Pod, YouTube, and Amazon Music to catch up on the full archive of past episodes of FSP. Just simply search Full Sport Press Podcast. J-Hope.
Yes, sir.
And Weezy.
What it do?
Do you guys have a yellow box of Cheerios recipient for our listeners?
We do. This week's award recipient is former Jacksonville Jaguar financial manager.
There you go, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Amit Patel.
Mm-hmm.
Amit Patel.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it is. A former financial manager for the Jacksonville Jaguars has been accused of stealing more than $22 million from the franchise through its virtual credit card program between 2019 and 2023. Shout out to virtual. Amit Patel, who worked for the Jaguars for 5 years, starting in 2018, is charged with one count of wire fraud and one count of illegal monetary transactions. Now, Patel is accused of using the money to buy two vehicles, a Tesla and a Nissan pickup truck, a condominium in nearby Ponte Verde Beach, and a designer watch for $95,000, cryptocurrency, and place bets with an online gambling site. He's also allegedly using money to buy sports memorabilia, a country club membership, spa treatments, and tickets to sporting events and concerts. And he chartered private jets for himself and friends and lodged a retainer with a criminal defense law firm. Amit Patel, it's Coach Locke fine. You know, me and Coach Locke was talking. He's like, I mean, he about doing Jacksonville Jaguars. I said, well, oh, no. But listen, FSP will.
No, the gonna, world is about to.
Oh, yeah, Amit Patel, man. Listen, man. Just be careful, man. Just be careful. You got to watch who you're hiring.
Yeah.
It's tough.
He's not from Nashville, is he?
I know that Patel name go a long way.
Well, nah. That's 64. That's like Taylor,
that's like a
bro.
Smith.
Yeah, that's like Williams,
yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I'll let Jeff take that one. Yeah, you take that one. Come on. You guys ready to get started the first half? Let's get it.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
The first half is underway.
Full Sport Press.
First half, the hottest sports news of the past week. Like we do each and every week here at the Full Sport Press Podcast. Before we get started, I am J-Ho.
It's your boy, Big Jeff.
It's your boy, Weezy.
It's your man, Coach Locke.
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Easily.
Yeah, that's it. Government. That's it.
Where can they find you on social media, my brother?
Well, Weezy, that's J-Easily84 across all social media platforms.
Oh, no.
Locke. You back, big baby. Where can they find you on social media?
Man, nothing has changed. It's Locke_the_great. That's T-H-A. Get at me.
Yeah, yeah.
He can't tell me his last name well a lot. Like, I know that. Okay.
Well,
you didn't know it, man.
You're right.
Two things can be true, bro. Don't look at me.
Why you never on my side, dog? You never on my side.
You got a question for me?
Nah, not really. I'm how with these.
Nah, Jim,
what?
No,
where can they find you? No, it's all good.
You already asked Jay.
Where can they find your social media, my brother?
I'm FSP _Weezy on IG, and I'm High Weezy on Twitter. Holla at me.
Holla at you.
Jay Hub across all social media platforms. Here we go.
The kingdom is locked.
Damn right.
Hey,
cuz. Hey, not Jill. Oh,
hey, cuz. Chill, man.
Yeah, I got the 25.
He said, chill my ass.
Jeff,
yes, sir.
On the clock.
Alrighty. It is the final week of the regular season of the FSP Fantasy Football League. Some of these games actually mean something, cameraman. Here's the thing. We are looking for a new commissioner in the league next year. I'm not doing this shit ever again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm playing, but I'm not the commissioner. No more.
Why?
It's too much.
You lost your damn mind.
It's just
you done lost your damn mind.
You know what, cameraman?
All right.
Yes, it's his commission.
All right, in 12th place, myself. Finally won one, Weezy. Finally won me a game last week. At 3-10 versus Hair Jordan at 10-3. He's projected to beat me by 30 ball because my team don't want to show up. Next, we got the number 8 seed, Show Me Them TDs. One time for Parham, I know he's listening. Versus the number 8 seed, I'm sorry, the number 9 seed, Show Me Them TDs. Versus number 8 seed, third string commentator, Shane, at 5-8 as well. Big game right there, big game. At number 3, Return of the Mac, one time for Reagan. Versus Warrior with the Cheese, one time for Twin. Reagan is projected to win them by 30 ball as well. All right, moving on. Bishop sick of my team. One time for Cam at 5-8, the number 10 seed versus CMC. Later, Chaz running away from the league still at 12-1, kicking ass, and taking names. One time 12-1.
Ooh,
12-1. Yeah, he's been rolling since then. All right, Connor Stallions manifesto. One time for D. Harrison 4-9 versus Saquon and them. Coach Wayman. D. Harrison projected to win that one to spoil Coach Wayman's season. And the game of the week, the number 6 Now Watch God at 6-7. Versus the number 7, Bad Draft Shouty, one time PO. Winner's in. Winner's in. Winner is in. And that is FSP Fantasy Football League.
Weezy, we got a top seven, don't we?
We do.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
You excited about this top seven?
You damn right I am.
Better be.
You might not be. Right. Might not be, though.
Yeah.
Get over here.
Right.
You might not be.
We're going to erase that Marvin list.
Jeff.
Let's do it.
Coach last name Easley.
That's my last name, Weezy. That's it.
Number seven. The Miami Dolphins. Jeff at number seven.
Okay. Okay.
Right. Number six. They holding on for good measures. The Detroit Lions at number six.
Okay. Right.
Number five is where it gets tricky.
Here we go.
The Dallas Cowboys at number five. The Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Well, the reason why Cowboys are at number five?
Uh huh.
They haven't beat a winning team. Let's
see these four.
Well, it's a big week for Dallas.
It's a big week. They gotta win this week. They move up.
But they should be five. Cause y'all know you got it four.
Kansas City's number four.
Yeah, they should be ahead of Kansas City.
How?
Kansas City just lost. Kansas City just lost to Green Bay. Dallas did lose to Arizona.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
But Kansas City just lost to Green Bay.
Yeah. Number three. Number three, the Baltimore Ravens are number three.
Okay.
Number two. Who's number two, Jay?
San Francisco.
Philadelphia Eagles.
San Francisco should be number two.
Crazy as hell.
And number one, San Francisco.
No, you're right. But it's the record. But it's the record, though, right?
No.
Oh, I'm asking. Okay, I got you.
Well, yeah. And I'm going to tell you why I put him at number one.
Okay.
I'm tell you why.
We beat their ass.
They beat the hell out of them.
And on top of that, we put in backups in the fourth.
They ain't got nothing to do with it.
It's got a lot.
No, and they only lost one more game.
Yeah, the reason why I put him at – the reason why I got San Francisco at one. San Francisco went to Philly and beat them in bad weather.
No, we beat their ass. Yeah.
They beat them in bad weather. Yeah. Beat them handily.
There you go.
Beat them handily.
It's a difference.
And it wasn't no injuries on both sides. So it was like a straight up game almost.
We got an injury.
Hurts is hurt.
But
y'all beat the hell up. I can't say how to beat the
hell up.
He hasn't even hurt all year if he hurt then.
I'm not blaming him.
I'm telling you.
I'm not blaming him.
Derek Carr, David Carr.
Here's the week, though. Here's the week for the Eagles. If Dallas beat them, number one. But
we beat Dallas.
But they could put Eagles down to number four.
55-10, yeah. Something crazy.
I don't see how you can do that.
Hmm?
Unless they blow Dallas. Now, if Dallas blow them out like San Francisco did, absolutely. Now, if it's a close game, it'll be tough for you to put them down too far because they split with them.
That's what everybody else do.
I mean, shit, that's what they did.
And Kansas City got Buffalo this week.
Buffalo at the same team. They got turmoil in Buffalo going on.
You telling me? Oh, I hope his ass is out of there.
Come on,
Santa, do something right for your dog.
Damn.
All right, let's move on. We don't talk a lot of baseball here. Let's move on to the MLB. Major League Baseball winter meetings took place in good old Nashville this year, guys. Y'all know that?
Yeah.
All right. Some moves were made. Shout out to J-Hove, Juan Soto went to the Yankees. Big deal.
That's a huge deal.
Yeah.
2-2.
But the player with all the eyes on him was Shohei Ohtani.
Modern day Babe Ruth.
Dave, you took the words right out of my mouth. Pause. The modern day Babe Ruth is a free agent and, as of this recording, has decided on his new home. The former Anaheim Angels expects to sign the biggest contract in MLB history. Front runners are the Dodgers, the Giants, and surprisingly, the Blue Jays. Starting with you, Weezy, where do you think he ends up?
I think it's the Dodgers. Who else got that kind of money? Out of those three.
No. You find that money. Yeah. You turn over some blankets, sell some stock.
Yeah.
Whatever. Fire some people.
Well, shout out to DP. I know he listens. He put the hot dogs up a little
higher. Yeah, change the hot dog prices.
Yeah, now you're going to get that money back.
Yeah. But, I got the Dodgers, man. Only thing with the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, is their pitching staff is good already. So is he just going to be a DH?
He's not pitching next year.
So he's just going to be a DH.
Yeah, you got Tommy John.
Yeah.
So he's out all year.
No, he can hit.
He can hit.
So he's going to be DH.
DH.
Oh yeah, well, he's going to hit bombs. He's going to get paid the most money in the world just to hit bombs.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's what he's supposed to do. Got to pay to play.
Yep. First off, let's talk about the Angels, guys. The reason he left the Angels and is leaving the Angels is because of their lack of success. He said it plenty of times. He wants to play for a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. It's only one place. Drake got the jersey on already. Going to Toronto. Mm-hmm. Already stamped in stone, dog. It's done. He'll be the face of an entire nation. His market just got a whole lot bigger. And on top of that, he'll get close to $500 million. I won't give him, I'll say like $485, $490. And even for those services, he's still underpaid because that's just one position. He's playing two.
And you're coming out to see him.
Hell yeah. So yeah.
Is it going to be a 10-year deal?
Hell no. Nah.
You gonna like do a 4 or 5 year deal?
They do like about an 8-piece.
Yeah, 8-piece.
Ranch on the side.
Ooh,
blue cheese. Blue cheese. Blue cheese is on the come up.
Blue cheese is better.
Blue cheese is coming back.
Blue cheese is better
as an adult.
Yeah. That's crazy. You say that. Blue cheese. I had some blue cheese.
Blue cheese is better.
Blue cheese is okay.
It's not ranch. It ain't ranch, not
man. Hey, blue cheese
ain't ranch.
Blue cheese hidden. I'm telling you, coach.
It ain't ranch.
Ranch is fire.
Hard pass.
Mm-hmm. No ranch. I got two places to go for some good ranch. I'm gonna tell y'all off
Wingstop?
The air.
Wingstop. Yeah. Ain't nothing better than Wingstop.
Wingstop ranch is fire.
Ain't nothing better than Wingstop ranch.
One more.
Wingstop ranch is crack.
Ranch is fine too.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. What you got, Coach?
Man, I think he's gonna wind up in Los Angeles with the Dodgers. Man, the Dodgers they decline, extend a qualifying offer for their designated hitter J.D. Martinez in 2023 because they're trying to get Ohtani. Now, they're predicting that he is going to sign a double-digit year contract at $528 over 12 years.
And 12 is crazy. The Dodgers. That's a Magic Johnson, 25 for 25.
Yeah.
That's why contracts be long.
Damn. So, I mean, it's going to be hard to turn that down.
It's guaranteed.
Because, like Jay mentioned, they already going to be contenders. Yeah, you combine them out there with all the talent they have in L.A., then they instantly become favorites.
Yep.
Well, you got to think. You can't say it's guaranteed, Jeff. Jalen Brown got 305 guaranteed.
NBA money.
Yeah. NBA Adam money.
I'm telling you.
Chris Paul. Shout out to Chris Paul. He was negotiating president for that. So, yeah.
At 305. We talking about.
No, that was C.J. McCollum.
No, it was the
Jay Brown got the highest one.
No. What he's saying, the acting president before him that got this contract, was CP.
Okay.
Yeah, but he negotiated it for sure. Yeah. All right, guys, before we start with halftime, let's talk some college football. More than 3,000 college football players have entered the transfer portal since the end of the regular season on November the 26th, guys. That's insane.
Yes,
from top-tier quarterbacks to small school stars, there are tons of players. Which of these transfers are the biggest surprises after week one? We will kick things off with Wheezy. Give me a surprise.
Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. He had a great year.
He did.
Team had a good year.
Yeah.
New coach, second season with a new coach. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
When I seen Dylan Grabeau, I couldn't believe it.
His OC just got the head coach of Mississippi State, so.
But here's the thing. Dylan Grabeau.
He's up for Heisman.
Yeah.
He's up for Heisman.
You didn't have a bad year, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man, this college football, I'm a fan of it. I love college. I love football, period.
Yeah.
But, and I'm never been a person that's like, they gotta get a hold, like gotta control of. I've never been an upper management type guy, but they gotta get control of this.
It ain't that bad. It ain't as bad as we think it is. It's getting gas. People are putting out these crazy numbers. People ain't getting that type of money, guys. They'll say that when they get there, they probably get $15,000, $20,000.
Bro, these college they got agents.
Bro,
they got agents in the portal. These quarterbacks got agents.
They do, but it ain't like what everybody is portraying it to be, coach.
I had Dylan Gabriel, so I go another way. My first one is your boy Trevor Etienne from Florida.
Hurt.
I was surprised to see him go in the portal after playing 11 games. Now, he did only start once.
Yeah, he was getting carries.
Exactly. He's a leader in rushing touchdowns, yards per carry, yards per game, total rushing yards. Had 21 catches for 170 yards and touchdowns. I was just surprised to see him leave Florida and you can come on down and look.
Oh, yeah,
the
other way.
You got too many young running backs. He going to Georgia.
He come on. State champs. He come to the state champs.
But coming out of high school, he was between Clemson and Florida. Of course, his brother went to Clemson. So I see him going to Georgia. They losing two seniors. It'll make most sense for him to go there. What you got, Jeff?
His brother made a call.
Yeah, might go Coach Prime.
First is Kyle McCord, man. I don't know if he was forced out or if he wanted to leave from Ohio State. You're the starting quarterback of 11-1 team, and you enter in the portal the first day. Somebody gave him a little, hey, brother, thank you for your services.
Damn right.
I think that's what it was.
You don't go 11-1. Yeah. Yeah. No, you don't go 11-1. and being the starting quarterback for the entire season, right. And then you like, nah, I'm gonna leave.
First day, though.
Yeah, you somebody else coming in. Like, you know what?
You ain't gonna compete.
You might as well go strike the iron while it's hot.
Yeah,
no, our portal history is pretty good. I want you to get in the portal.
Yeah, get in that motherfucker. Yeah. Okay. My first surprise transfer is Dante Moore, true freshman at UCLA. He was the crown jewel of Chip Kelly's 2023 signing class, number 4 player in the country. Didn't play a lot. He was supposed to go to Oregon, flipped very last minute to go to UCLA. So he's the highest ranked UCLA recruit in the Kelly era. So to get a guy like that, not play him, played him a little bit, really weird how they were going they about doing him. Things, then benched him. Yeah, it's time. That's a guy. Now, that's a guy that you build your team. It's very similar to like a guy like you get like Jordan Travis. You get him as a freshman. Yeah. You go there and take care of that. That'll be a good look for any team in the country to get Dante Moore.
You know, he said that he wants to go somewhere where he feels like he can get coached up and get nurtured. I'm like, Damn, Chip.
Like, that's how you feel.
He's losing it.
They've always hit it with Chip. He's a bad leader.
He was at the pro level.
And none of the alumni like Chip.
I mean, he's not a likable person. Okay. What you got, Weez?
I went with Trevor Etienne.
Yeah.
But for everything you just said and coach just said, he was the guy in Florida.
Yeah. I don't understand why he only had 700 rushing yards. You split in time with Montrell Johnson, who was a transfer, and I know Billy liked him. He came from Louisiana with him. But, man, you don't lose a guy like Trevor Etienne. What you got, coach?
DJ Uiagalelei.
Yeah.
Oregon State.
Big Cinco.
This one really surprised me because he just got there. Yeah. He didn't have a bad year. Yeah. He had 2,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, and they were solid at Oregon State. So to see him transferring again was a shock to me. And they're saying that Florida State and Louisville look to be the top two spots for him.
Y'all need a higher assassin. That's
I think the thing with Big Cinco was I don't think the money's that good down there.
He went there to rehabilitate himself.
No, he went there to get good film. Yeah. That's it. He got clean film now. And he going to play for a Power 5 team and really go out the right way.
Because we can't forget about that big Dr. Pepper deal he got.
Man, he was the first $1 million NIL guy.
Yeah.
Big Cinco.
My next one, I had Julian Fleming from Ohio State.
Oh, he in the transfer portal?
Last year.
Oh, you lying.
Yes.
But you know they bringing the number one recruit in the country, wide receiver.
Exactly. So he been fighting for his life in that wide receiver room for 3 years.
He nasty though.
Like I'm done.
Y'all remember Jameson Williams leaving? Yeah. This is like that.
Yeah, he been fighting for his life.
He nasty.
Yeah.
Come on down
Florida State.
I didn't know.
I'm done fighting.
Come
on down Florida State. We got
my last surprise transfer, Cam Ward, Washington State, hired assassin. He left from Incarnate Word to go to Washington State, balled, and you go on draft boards coming from Incarnate Word to Washington State, you just need a little bit more film. So you go into a situation now and you go to one of these schools, they saying Ohio State is going to get him, that's where he wants to go, and they got the best wide receiver room in the country. So if you imagine how he balled, 23 touchdowns, rushing, 8 rushing touchdowns at both WashU and Incarnate Word, guess what he can do behind a Big Ten offensive line like Ohio State. So, yeah, Cam Ward is my last one.
Yeah, Cam Ward's a good one. I didn't have no more, but Cam Ward is a good one.
Yeah. Anybody got anything?
Tyler Van Dyke.
Tyler
Van Dyke.
Talk about him.
So, he's a junior.
Miami, right?
Yeah, for Miami. Started the year off great. Ended up with 2,700 yards, 18 touchdowns. Also threw 12 picks. That's not good. Got to bring it down a little bit.
But you said that never mind, I ain't going to do that.
Oh, what?
No.
What?
I ain't gonna talk about. No, go ahead. My bad. That's my fault. I'm gonna talk to you about it ahead.
I was just gonna say he started the year off where they seemed to taper. They tapered off at towards the end with Miami. That's all. That's it. So he's gonna go somewhere. And he has 2 years left. He's gonna kill.
I mean, I don't mind it. I think it's wild, wild west stuff for sure.
It helps teams. If you look at a team like Florida State, man, they capitalized. The reason they 13-0 is because of those transfers. Coleman. Yeah, Coleman. You got the corner, and here Jordan Travis is a transfer. So yeah, it's been good. People use it the right way.
Yeah.
It's created a lot of. It's a case by case basis because there are situations with teams where guys aren't getting clocked. But it also created some instances where dudes just want to play. They don't want to fight.
Yeah,
they don't want to work for.
They don't want to work for their spot.
Three of the guys in that's up for the Heisman really. Yeah, it should be. It's three. All those guys transferred from their former schools they started with. So
I mean, they said
Dylan Gabriel. The deal was done for him to go to USC, but it was the numbers were off.
Yeah, numbers gotta be off. Right. Hey, hey,
Shout out to money gotta be right.
Hey, meet me where I need to be. Yeah, at. Shout out to D Black. You know what I'm saying? Pay me where I need to be.
Meet me where I need to be. Yeah, I see D Black.
Hell yeah. You guys ready to get started with halftime?
Let's do it.
Let's get it.
We're at the midway point. Please enjoy all of the halftime festivities.
Halftime. Mm-hmm. It is the return of Jeff's NBA Power Rankings Top 7, the controversial Power Rankings. All right, so this is the first one of the year. You know how we do the first one? It is up to this date, up to this of this recording. I've always done that.
No, I know. I'm saying though, Jeff.
After this is week to week.
And what I'm trying to tell you, that motherfucker 9-32 last night. Don't you do that.
No, in-game don't matter.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
Okay, I know.
I don't know.
I'm going to remind you.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So this will exclude the NBA play. I'm sorry. Not playing tournament. In-season tournament. Semifinals and finals. Okay. All right. And my league pass legend, the first one of the week of the year, the scrappy Houston Rockets. If you have league pass, please watch a Houston Rockets game. Coaches are fighting. Dylan Brooks is leading dance routines. They're fun to watch.
That's the top 17.
That says the league pass legend, sir. You know I do that every time. You know I do that every time. Jesus Louise. All right, number 7. The returning NBA champions, Denver Nuggets at 14-8. Jamal Murray's been out. No worries, though. Big Yoke Dog's putting up astronomical numbers.
He was 9-32 last night.
He's number 7. He's not number 1. He's number 7.
He didn't play last night.
That's not last night. Last night was the – you mean Wednesday night. You mean Wednesday night.
That's when they played.
So he averaged 30. 13 boards and 9 assists.
He's still leading.
Nobody number 1 on his list. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? That's what he's doing. That's number 7, Denver Nuggets. Shout out to Kendrick Perkins for making it weird last year. Moving on to my sleeper team, J-Ho's sleeper team as well, the Orlando Magic. Paolo Banchero starting to make it. Franz Wagner putting up big numbers. Cole Anthony is a 6 man. It's hooping. If you got a chance on League Pass, please watch the Orlando Magic. They are surprisingly in the 4th seed in the East and putting up big numbers and fun to watch. Number 5, Philadelphia 76ers. No Harden, no problem. Tobias Harris looks like Clippers Tobias Harris versus Doc Rivers. Tyrese Maxey is a budding superstar. And Embiid is back from his illness from last week and putting up big numbers. Shout out to them. Moving on. Number 4, the Milwaukee Bucks. The addition of Dame Lillard has transformed the Bucks into the best clutch team in the NBA by statistics. Not counting what happened in the NCAA tournament where they called a players meeting with the coach and telling the coach need to coach better. That's some other stuff. But that happened. Got to address it. But as of right now, based on record alone, they're number 14 in the power rankings. Number 3, OKC Thunder. Rookie of the year. Front runner Chet. Young Chet. MVP hopeful SGA. Possibly on the same team. That's never happened. The MVP and the rookie of the year on the same team. That could happen this year. Trust me and believe. Along with that, the rest of that young talent, OKC is who you do not want to play in the playoffs this year. Number 2, the Boston Celtics. The best starting five in the business. But of course, random Tuesday, old Porzingis ain't nowhere to be found. And that's what he going to do. And when he does that, Boston dropped a couple of games that they normally would win. They're going to be there. They're going to run roughshod through the East. No worries at all. But as of right now, they are the number 2 team on our list. That leads us to number 1, the Minnesota Timberwolves. The best record in the NBA as of recording. Rudy Gobert saved the world. Carl Anthony Towns gets to shoot all the threes he wants to and live his perfect little life out there doing so. And Ant Edwards is a dog. And that is week 1 of the NBA Power Rankings.
So,
Nothing. Exactly. That's perfect.
I like the MVP better, but that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to do MVP. Yeah. Trust me.
All right, guys. You guys ready to get started the second half?
Big Yoke Dog.
Yeah.
Let's get it.
It's Big Yoke Dog.
See? You guys ready to start second half?
Yeah, Yoke Dog.
Can we get started with second half?
Oh, my bad. Oh, shit. You know, we put the forces on. We can get started with the second half.
Second half is underway. Full Sport Press.
All right.
Sorry, bastard.
Second half, the 2023 College Football Playoff Breakdown Show. Fortunately, I'm J-Ho.
Black Forces Jeff.
Oh, shit.
Black Hoodie Jeff.
It's your boy Weez. Yeah. What do you do?
It's your man Coach Locke.
Yeah.
Cameraman, the final year of the 4-team college football playoff will arguably be the most memorable as the committee made history Sunday with numerous decisions we never expected to witness. This year's race for the four spots presented with some unique challenges for the committee. First question that I have for the esteemed panel of guys. Did they get it right, man. Wheezy? Yes or no?
Yes or no?
Nah. Absolutely not. They didn't get it right. Alabama does not deserve to be there. You win a game by 3 points against the number one team that's been number one for the last 2 years, and you jump four spots. And what they did to Florida State was just it's unfair. It was unfair. They dogged Florida State on that one. Okay, how you put it?
Jeff.
Listen, by the time you're hearing this, everything that could possibly be said about the travesty that happened on that Saturday morning, Sunday morning, has already been said. You had a white man named Boo come on my TV trying to explain to me how is he not a white man? Was his name not named Boo? Okay. Yeah, a white man named Boo come on my TV trying to explain to me how an undefeated Power 5 champion with the third strength of record in all of college football does not make the 14 playoff while two teams with one loss are in. Here's the thing, Coach Locke. I never claim to be a brilliant man. Math kept me from getting a perfect score on my ACT. I'll be very transparent. But I know a little small math. Never in my life has one loss been better than zero losses. No matter how they happened, no matter how they came, pause, one loss is not better than zero losses. Can't make that make sense. 2 + 2 gonna equal 4 no matter how you write it down. But a white man named Boo came on my TV explaining to me that the reason why this didn't happen is because how the optics of Florida State is not the same team they were when they accomplished these things. Huh. So you lose your quarterback and you still win 3 games. You go 2-0 against the vaunted SEC. And you beat the SEC with your backup quarterback. Beat your rival in the SEC with your backup quarterback. And
we had our third string quarterback playing.
I can only talk about Florida State.
But what I'm saying is if you're going to do stuff, make sure you have 1 + 1 = 2. That didn't equal 2. That equal 3.
Are they 2-0 against SEC?
What I'm saying is you said y'all playing against y'all. Bro, we was on our third string quarterback, bro.
Okay.
Stop.
2-0 against SEC. Played a Louisville that averages 30 points.
That lost to Kentucky. A doormat in the SEC.
Okay.
That don't matter. That don't matter. They lost to Kentucky. That don't matter. Because Auburn should have lost to Alabama should have lost to Auburn. That don't matter. What matters is they got in the championship game and held that 30-point scoring team to 6 points. That don't matter.
I couldn't say it any better. So white man named Boo told me that one loss is better than zero losses. That going out and actually playing the games does not matter. This is a TV show. This is the WWE. What's best for our viewership is better for my team. So, kids, when you're being recruited, if you're not being recruited by a Big Ten school or SEC school, don't do it. Because your wins and your accomplishments on the field do not matter to a white man named Boo, who's the head of the committee that picks the team, right? The gentleman on TV, I forget his name, on ESPN, said all this and then pulled it back because he said, oh, well, we can't say that because we don't want to sound like we're being in cahoots. Well, you just said this is about matchups. It ain't about records. It's about what looks best for the TV program. And that's what we're doing. Don't play the games. You can win or lose. As long as you look good on TV and you play in the SEC, yuck, yuck, yuck. Word means just more. Yuck, yuck, yuck. That's all that matters. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Did they get it right? No, they didn't get it right.
This means more.
Alabama did the same exact thing when they were number one years ago. They got beat by Georgia in the SEC championship game, and they only dropped to 4. Georgia hasn't lost a game in almost 3 years, and they get beat, and they drop to 6. You tell us that Florida State is not the same team without our quarterback, and they're not a better team than Alabama without our quarterback, so that's why you put Alabama above us. Cool. So you're telling me that Florida State without our quarterback is a better team than Georgia because you dropped Georgia to 6 and put us at 5. If that's the logic that you're using, that doesn't make sense. That's contradictory. We're a Power 5 team that won a conference championship. It is what it is. You can't punish. Let's just say it's 115 kids on the college football roster. You can't punish 114 kids for one kid. That's basically what you did. You punished a defense that's one of the best defense in the country. Yep. Didn't even get him a chance because the quarterback got hurt. This is why they got that wrong. At the end of the day, Alabama won SEC, okay. But they were not going to not let an SEC team play in the college football playoffs. That's what this boiled down to. They were not going to let that happen. Even though it's this should be the year. Or
this was the year to do it.
If you were going to put one in, I would have been cool if you put Georgia in.
Once Texas was named three, I knew it was over. I put it in the group chat. Once Texas was three, it's over with. Because now you've already made it to where Alabama, because it means more, Alabama can now be at four because
it means more.
It means more. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
That's all you could.
That ain't top 7 minutes.
I could have kept going.
Yeah. You want to keep going?
Nah.
You got it?
I know what I'm saying.
I think it was a little bit of, like, right in the middle. Yes and no. Because mainly due to the fact that they went through three unprecedented moves to get to this Final Four. So you have an undefeated Power 5 champ, which is the ACC's own Florida State Seminoles. You have a team outside of the top six making the semis, and the number one team dropped out. So I think from the beginning, and I've been saying this since the inception of the college football playoff, there should have been six teams because there's a Power 5. There's five conferences, the ACC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, and the vaunted SEC. So in turn, there's always going to be room for debate who's the worst conference of said Power 5. We all know the worst conference of all said Power 5 is the ACC currently. So in turn, they will always get the short end of the stick. But if you make it a 16 playoff, everybody's happy. Alabama gets in, Georgia gets in, Florida State gets in, and then they'll be the fourth seed or whatever. Then they get their ass whooped because they don't have a quarterback, and then it'll be fine. But in turn, you got four teams, makes it a little bit room for discrepancy. So yes and no. I mean, it was the worst team of the Power Fives. Yeah, so it makes sense. But at the same time, I understand why. If it was Florida in this situation, I would be mad too, and I would be coming in with a bad accent going towards the SEC. But proof is in the pudding. The SEC is going to win this entire thing again.
Alabama's going to win it.
The SEC is going to win this entire thing again.
Well, that's
so in turn, why would you take a team, either Georgia or either Alabama, out? And they're clearly the best team. If I'm mad, if anybody's mad, it should be Georgia. Because they haven't lost a game in 2 years. Lost one game in 2 years. And they get the short end of the stick for losing their game late. And it's teams that got passed in and because they lost early. So, yeah, man, I mean, everybody can be mad.
You can explain Georgia, though.
You can explain Alabama getting in, too.
Alabama beat Georgia. Texas beat Alabama. That makes sense. That makes sense.
But
the losses make sense.
But in turn, you look at how Alabama got in, and they'll be fine. I mean, I just think it should have been six teams. Four teams isn't enough because there's a Power 5. It's not
next
a Power 4.
12.
It's a Power 5.
Next year you got 12.
And 12 is going to be enough, and then they'll find a way to get 16. Be mad about that and,
you don't
and whine
need,
about this.
You
shit,
don't
so.
Need 12. You didn't ever. You didn't need four. You only needed two. Or you need to go to a high school way of doing things where it's classifications. That's it.
Yeah.
Here's my question to everybody in the panel real quick. No. Just real quick. If Nick Saban coached Florida State, would they be in?
Yeah. No. Florida State's in the ACC?
Yeah.
No. It's because they're in the ACC. Okay.
All right. Moving right along to our breakdown of each bowl, we have the Rose Bowl, the number one seed Michigan Wolverines versus the four seed, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama's coming off a 27-24 win over Georgia in the SEC Championship. Michigan 13-0 is coming off a 26-0 win against Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. Michigan is a 1-point favorite over Alabama as we record this podcast. The over and under cameraman is 45.5 points. Give me a better offense, Wheezy.
Alabama's offense is better. Jajelle Monroe is playing out of his mind right now. Mm-hmm. They got a wide receiver that's playing pretty good. I think Alabama's offense is better.
Jeff.
I'm going Michigan. Michigan offense is more cohesive. It played well throughout the season, and their big games have showed up. So I'm going Michigan's offense.
Coach.
I'm going with Michigan. Michigan has the 14th ranked scoring offense. Alabama's 19th. Michigan is 33rd in sacks allowed. Alabama is 125th. And tackles for a loss allowed. Michigan is 6th. Alabama's 100th. So I'm going with Michigan.
I have Alabama as the better offense. All eyes will obviously be on the playmaking ability between J.J. McCarthy and Jalen Milroe, but Milroe is a better player than McCarthy, and he showed that throughout the year. Decision-making skills have gotten a lot better since he's been cemented as QB1. He's accounted for 28 touchdowns, 11 straight wins. Solid player in McCarthy, but I don't think he's proven yet that he can take over a game like Milroe has. And on top of that, Blake Corum is the engine that gets that Michigan offense going. If he can, you know, find a way to get back to 100% because he's coming off an ACL injury, that offense hasn't been the same in the past couple of weeks. And it's just done enough to stay undefeated because they have a vaunted defense. Speaking of defense, moving on to the better defense, Weezy, who has a better defense?
Michigan has the better defense. That's what they're known for. They probably got the best defense in the entire college football this year.
Yep.
Michigan.
Yep. Jeff.
Michigan can hit. Yep. Like up to the level of almost not legal in today's football, but they can hit. Like, yep. So I'm going Michigan.
Coach.
I had Michigan's better defense as well.
Okay. Yeah, with Michigan having a better defense, I think Alabama has the better defensive player in Dallas Turner, who'll be a top 10 pick. But that Michigan defense has been outstanding all season against teams that Michigan will face in the playoff. The Wolverines will just have to put up more points. But I think that defense will do more to get a little bit over the line to make more of an impact than Alabama's defense. So, yeah, I'm going with Michigan's defense. Coaching, Weezy, your favorite. Who do you have as a better coach?
Well, considering that Harbaugh, considering they won six games without Harbaugh even out there coaching, they won six games without him. You got to get an upper hand to Nick Saban, especially when he has time to prepare for you. I don't think this game it matters because I just think this. I think Michigan has the better offensive line, defensive line.
Jeff,
it matters. You give Saban's like prime Belichick. I know it's hard to think about Belichick and with what's happening in New England this year, but Saban, with this much time to prepare for somebody, man, he's going to find the weaknesses, the cracks in that offense and that defense. I'm going Saban.
Yep. Coach?
I went Saban as well for the same reason that Jeff said. He gives them that much time. He's almost flawless when he has the month in advance to prepare for you, and he has more experience in the college football playoffs, period. So I went with Saban as well.
Yep. Jim Harbaugh shrinks in big games. It's always been his moniker, his major flaw, and you're going against one of the best big game coaches, not in just college football, but in sports history. So you can't give him a month, man. Good luck. I mean, Nick Saban is a better coach. Winner and why, Weezy? Who's winning the game and why?
I got Michigan winning the game. I think Michigan's an all-around better team when they play together. They can keep Jalen Milroe under control, keep him in the pocket, and let him scramble out. I think they got the best chance to win the game.
Jeff?
The script writers will make sure they cannot allow Michigan, with all that controversy, to win a national championship. So the script writers will make sure that the SEC team represents college football as their national champion. Yeah. Yuck. You got to make sure because it means more.
What you got, Coach?
Yuck.
I got Michigan winning the game, man. Some of that is a homer pick because I want them to win this game for obvious reasons. But I just think they'll be able to pull this game off because even though Alabama won ACC championship game, I mean, they were behind an eight ball at that point. They were just coming off of a game where they should have lost to Auburn. Auburn's defense, secondary, caused a lot of this confusion in the college football playoffs as well, because if they seal that game on 4th and 30, we're not even talking about them. But I have Michigan winning this game.
Bama, man, they're just going to have to play the short game against Michigan. And that Mike Sandstrill defense doesn't get a lot of attention. He is the leader of that defense. And he's a guy that is going to play himself into a first-round pick in the next couple of years. But Alabama's been one of the more resilient teams in the country. They trailed five times in the second half in SEC games. this season and rallied to win each and every last one of them. In other words, they know how to win close games because they're a better coached team. The more they play, the more confident that they've gotten. I think that offense isn't necessarily about to get into a high-scoring bout with Michigan, but if they're in the game in the fourth quarter, that's their comfort zone. They won't get rattled. J.J. McCarthy hasn't been in a game with that much on the line, and I think Jalen Milroe has played in two games with that on the line, so give me Alabama by at least 7. Moving right along to the Sugar Bowl, the 2-seed Washington Huskies versus the 3-seed Texas Longhorns. A year after meeting in the Alamo Bowl, No. 3 Texas, No. 2 Washington will meet with much higher stakes on the line. The opening line is Texas, favored by 4 points. Wheezy, give me the better offense of the two.
I got this as a wash.
Mm.
Both of these offenses can put up 30 points quickly on you. Quinn Ewers is playing out of his mind. Michael Penix Jr. is playing out of his mind.
I wouldn't say that. It's a stretch.
Well, he got 2 wide receivers that can catch everything.
Daddy, thank you.
Texas got a wide receiver that's hurt worthy, but they got other playmakers on the field. I think it's a wash.
Jeff.
You saying Michael Penix isn't playing well right now, Jay? Is that what you're saying?
No, he's not playing as good as he's playing at the beginning of the season.
He had a solid game against Oregon, though, you don't think? The second game.
That's the first 300 against Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead.
I'm just asking. For me, I'm going Texas. I think Texas has the better overall offense in this matchup. Like I said, Ewers, I know they had the receiver that's hurt, but Ewers is lights out, SEC future team, so you know you got to go with them. So I'm going with Texas offense.
Coach.
I'm going Washington, mainly Michael Penix being the main cause, but then those wide receivers he's thrown to in Rome, Odunze, and Jalen McMillan, I think that gives them the little edge over. So I went Washington with the better offense.
Yeah, Washington has a better offense. Rome Odunze is the best player on that team, regardless of offense or defense. He's the person when they needed a big play, got him the ball. He's the guy. At the halfway point of the season, Michael Penix was a clear favorite to win the Heisman. He was like minus 780. And then each week he just went down and just something was missing. Something was off every week. Still was good enough to lead them to a 12-0 record. But Odunze has been the person that has been consistent throughout the entire year. He'll be called on a first-round pick whenever he goes into the draft. Then you got Dylan Johnson playing at a high level, Mississippi State transfer, SEC guy, been a valuable asset to that Washington team. He took over in that Oregon game. So give me Washington's offense. Moving on to the defense, Wheezy, who do you have a better defense?
I got Washington better defense on this one. Texas defense is just not that good. They usually outscore everybody, but Washington defense.
Terrible defense. What you got?
You said Washington defense is terrible.
Absolutely terrible.
Yeah. I think I wouldn't say terrible. They're serviceable. How about serviceable? Serviceable. I think Texas player for player, talent for talent, they got a lot of talent and it can match up well against anybody, right, to me. So I'm going for this. I'm going Texas on defense.
What you got, Coach?
I went Texas as well. It doesn't seem like it, but they only gave up 17.5 points a game for defense.
Yeah.
They averaged giving up 321 yards per game. So I went with the Texas defense.
Yeah, Texas is – and they have the best player on this side of the ball in Tavondre Sweat, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, helped the Longhorns win the conference championship. Huge threat at the defensive tackle position. Him and Byron Murphy make that defensive line so impactful. The pass defense for the Huskies last season was 100th in college football. This year they're down to 122nd. So not a vaunted defense, to say the least. Give me the Texas Longhorns for defense. Moving on to coaching. Wheezy, who's the better coach?
Sarkisian on this one. Because he's been there already as a coach. He's been there as an assistant. And he's back there as a coach again. I think if he gets them play calls right and he get them boys rolling, it's gonna be hard to beat Stark, man.
Sure. I like it. I've been watched into the moon since the preseason. Got to roll with it. Coach of the year, yeah.
I have it a push. This is the push I have. Sarkisian, he's been there, but he never could get it done. That's why he went from Washington where he was at to
USC
and the Texas and Alabama because of that reason. So I actually have this one as a push.
Yeah. The guy that replaced Sark, Kalen DeBoer, Jeff's guy, taking that Huskies team to a new height, went 24 of their last 26 games. and a 20-game winning streak is on the line. Texas, I think, is the second hottest team in college football, and they're playing good enough to beat anybody in the country. And Sark is a Saban guy, so he knows how to prepare. He prepared that offense to play at Alabama. Each and every time that we talk about how Saban is prepared, he will prepare that team to go into that game and win that game. So I'm going with Sark. And the winner, and why, Weezy? Who you got winning?
Texas. I got Texas winning that game. I got Texas winning the whole thing, actually.
Heard you. Sure.
I've been with Washington.
Got to roll with him.
It's going to be rough, but I got Washington.
Yep. Coach?
I have Washington as well, Michael Penix. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to come down to the last drive, and I think Michael Penix is going to lead them on that last second drive.
Yep. I bet against Penix in every situation he's ever had as a college football quarterback. Every time. I've been wrong every time. He's proven me wrong every time. And I'm rolling with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm rolling with it. Give me Texas to beat them as well. They just have a lot of advantages in this matchup, offense, defense. I think it's a bad matchup for Washington again, even though they beat them in the Alamo Bowl last year. I mean, Penix didn't play. He was injured. But I tell you what, man, I got to keep betting against him because one time he's going to lose
one
the game.
One time he's going to show up.
Yeah, for
sure.
Not
going to show up. After
yeah, so give me Texas. Got a final score, Weezy? I got 38-34 Texas.
I can go 31-17 Texas.
Damn. They ain't beat them by no 14. Go ahead. Okay.
35-31 Washington.
What you got, Coach?
I had 34-31
Washington. Yeah, man. And that is our college football playoff breakdown. Yeah. And I get it. And again, if this was the Florida Gators, I've been there before, I've been mad. You know what I'm saying? So I understand the heat. But yeah, it's just hard to been listening to this shit all week, and then you had to hear it again. And again, you want to go ahead and close things out, Jeff, with some more hate?
Sure. All right. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you want me to keep talking about how it means more, I can. What else you want to hear, pal?
We're going to make sure.
So what you going to do real quick? What you going to do when – because this is the thing. I pray the day that Florida takes their ass to the ACC. Because I pray the day that we lead the SEC. They won't let us lead the SEC.
Florida Gators.
Yeah, I said the Florida Gators. I pray.
You want them to leave?
I want to leave because I want to deal with what y'all deal with.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't play shit every week. So what I'm saying, I would love to leave. Like, bro, with this team, we won 5 games this year, which I said we was going to win. That team in the ACC, we'd won 8-9 games.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is, y'all be lucky that y'all stay there and just stay there and continue to do that. Because the day y'all come to the SEC, you got to deal with that same shit that we deal with every week. And it's a different world.
We'll be just fine.
And what?
Florida State has played the SEC. So here's the thing. So since we're doing this, Alabama, Alabama is the outlier, right? We know this. Alabama's dominant.
Where's Georgia?
Just let me land. Take Alabama out. Take Alabama out of the equation. Who's the dominant team? Hear me out.
Who?
You're not going to bring Georgia, and they lost 0 games in 2 years?
What I'm explaining is
we beat them.
Exactly. So what I'm explaining is those teams that you all are saying are so good that would beat up on everybody else, don't ever beat up on Alabama. It's Alabama who USCC guys just really love. The rest of those teams just have a nice run.
Went back to back.
They're having a nice run.
And so did Clemson.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a run. It's not sheer dominance like the Roll Tide.
So you mean to tell
Roll Tide.
So you mean to tell me a team wins 26 straight games and that's a run?
That's a run.
No, that's dominance.
What was it when Kirby Smart was their coach? They couldn't beat Bama.
Smart. What are you talking
they
about?
They couldn't beat Bama.
So Clemson was dominant.
Man,
you got it. They dominated y'all. Hell yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. The teams have windows of time where they're dominant. Clemson won in the SEC.
Like Georgia was trash.
They never
lost under 5-6 games.
No, well, come on, nobody lose that. That's Ole Miss Vandy territory, right there.
So what I'm saying is, there was a competitive team every year. Y'all have teams that haven't been competitive for 20 years.
Remember the last time Ole Miss been competitive?
They were top.
Ole Miss ain't good, dude.
Oh, it's going to be the last 3 years.
They're not.
Since Lane Kiffin.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. So, a SEC team.
Some shit you just can't talk to.
No, an SEC team. Y'all get the grade on the curve. It's okay. We get Mississippi State's national championship contender. Now, all of a sudden, old fucking Miss is a perennial powerhouse. Texas A&M with that recruiting class that Jimbo got can't win shit. But the SEC team, so that means it just means more.
Who's gonna make sure Alabama wins?
Who's the script writers.
It's dried up. Let's go.
It ain't dried up, niggas. Yeah.
Now, tweet us with questions throughout the week at Full Sport Press. Don't forget to comment, give us a thumbs up on the YouTube page, on the iTunes page. Please rate and subscribe. But more importantly, don't forget to tell a friend.
To tell a friend.
Please.
Everything paid for a big baby.
It just means more.
Go.
Get a drum or something.
Cameraman the Revolution will be podcast. We out.
Peace to Full Press. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Full Sport Press podcast. To catch up on previous episodes, please check out the YouTube page and wherever you find your favorite podcast. Don't forget, tell a friend to tell a friend.
The revolution will be podcasted.